Today is June 13th, 2022. Current Bitcoin price is $21,166.93.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only, and is not financial advice.
So I know a few times now we've talked about the pain in the crypto market.
You feeling that pain right about now?
Oh man, today is a painful day indeed. Painful day, but yeah, it's hurtful. I mean, we've talked about this now for quite a few months, I think. I mean, we've talked about it even longer than that, but I mean, actually on this podcast, we've talked about the fact that Bitcoin's probably going to have to go pretty low.
I mean, everything is going to go low.
And that's the ultimate question, right?
Well, the question is, I mean, we've been saying that the market's going to crash, like all the markets. Mm-hmm. Are we there?
I don't know yet. I don't know what it's going to take. And I mean, so, and I was looking at this before we got going. I was looking at Dow Jones is down 2.79%, S&P 500. Now, and for those of you maybe not familiar with traditional institutional investing in that, the institutional markets, like the Bitcoin percentages that happen, like when a Bitcoin, with the cryptocurrency in general, it's not even just have to be Bitcoin, but cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin, with the swings that they do on a daily basis, would completely rock the regular stock market.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, it would be, they wouldn't even know how to deal. Like the markets would shut down several times a day. So having like a 5% loss within the institutional markets, like the standard Dow Jones and S&P and stuff like that, that's a huge loss for them. They're fairly steady Eddie, and they don't, you know, they don't like to see those kinds of losses. So the Dow Jones is down 2.79%. S&P 500 is down 3.88%. NASDAQ is down 4.68%. Gold is down 0.33%. So it's not even a percent. So that's actually held pretty well. The only one that's green on this list is oil. And that's only because it's up a quarter of a percent.
Well, that's the last thing we need is higher gas prices, but
yeah. Well, that's coming. You know it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't seen the end of that yet.
Nope. No, we have not. And so, I mean, you bring up a very good point with institutional investing and the fact that it's very slow and steady in its movements, whereas Bitcoin, well, all cryptos are pretty wild. I mean, the last time we recorded, it was back and forth between like, you know, up and down $3,000 in both directions.
Mm-hmm.
So... And that's the thing. If the market behaved anything like that, they would basically shut it off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they've got what they call the circuit breakers, right?
Exactly.
Because ever since, I mean, the Great Depression and the market crash back then, they've always had these circuit breakers in place where if anything goes too crazy, they won't allow it to completely kill itself, right?
Yeah, they take out some of that momentum when it's in free fall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they try and get people to regroup and come back with cooler heads. So they do what they call those circuit breakers, and they snap it and they're like, oh, nope, trading's done. Can't do nothing else.
You know, and it's not the craziest thing ever, but, you know, I think maybe we're not really at the crash yet.
And that's, I mean, go ahead.
You know, I'm just saying if there is a crash type cycle, let's say we lose 40%, that means it's going to basically be shut down like four times in a row.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
4 days in a row to do that.
To be able to get that to happen.
Yes.
The DXY was something I brought up too, just because I want to see the dollar index, like how strong it is right now. Right now it's at 105.15. Previous close was 105.08. like the 52-week range for the dollar index, it's gone from $90.35 to $105.29. And I still, I need to do more research on this because I can't sit here and be an, you know, act like I'm an expert on that because I don't know what that 105.15 means.
Same here.
I don't know if that's just measured against a basket of currencies from around the world that the DXY trades against. But it's actually, I mean, it's getting, it's strong, basically, is the way to look at that, unfortunately. But we've talked about that before, too. Like, we don't want it to be, the government doesn't want the dollar to be too strong because we don't make anything in the States anymore.
Yep, we have to. Well, that means whatever we do sell becomes more expensive to everyone else, and you know, we don't export enough really as it is.
Right. Yeah, and I guess for buying, purchasing in the imports, because I always get that mixed up in my head. Purchasing in the imports, it makes it cheaper, right?
It's better for us purchasing.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a scary market for sure. We also had Celsius, which, if you weren't aware of what that is, that's basically, it was a lending platform where people could do yield farming in a way. And they look like, I mean, in the traditional markets, this would be a bank run, right? But they've frozen deposits and withdrawals. So, like, if you had money within that market, you can't take it back out. And now, I don't know if this is, this kind of reminds me of what we had with Luna not too long ago. And kind of like BitConnect when you go a little bit further back, quite a few years back from the last bull market, 17 into 18, where just, I mean, no matter what, who you are, what you think, if you're ever looking at any type of a platform where they're giving you 30% interest pretty consistently, it's probably scammy.
Yep. We've seen that before in the crypto market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not something that you should try and you should bet the farm on, because more than likely, by the time you're getting onto it, you're going to lose your butt.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I guess what we need to go back to, though, is where do you think this is going? What's your, do you think we're in the final capitulation? Do you think we are in for more pain? What are your thoughts?
We are so definitely in for more pain. I just don't know when it's going to relent or when it's, I mean, from different forecasts we're seeing, like Jamie Dimon, was he, or was it a different investor that was calling for a 40% reduction in the markets very soon? The financial hurricane. Was that Jamie Dimon?
That sounds like that was probably Jamie Dimon. But at the same time, he also said that Bitcoin is severely undervalued, even though he hates it. He said it should be at about 38,000 right now.
You know, and I'd like to think that he's right. I think it will be back up, you know, twice the value at least of what it's at right now. It's just, when is that going to happen?
Yeah.
And I think the pain, that's the thing. We'll know that the pain is here when when we see what the harvest costs and what the food costs are going to be, we're going to freak out just with the fertilizer situation and in this year's crop. The other thing that I'm thinking of is diesel. You know, there's shortages of diesel right now. I mean, it's like a full dollar more expensive. Actually, it's a dollar and what is diesel locally right now? Is it just 70 cents higher than regular?
I want to say it's close to a dollar.
It's close to a dollar. But from what I've been hearing from people is that there's certain truck stops where truckers are driving to and they're not finding, they're not able to fuel up as well. Or some of the gas stations are empty of diesel.
Are they rationing the fuel? Like, they're only allowing them so much, or?
Not yet, but once the price starts skyrocketing on diesel, and if there's any issues with that, because everything gets trucked wherever it goes, if we have any dislocation on that side, oh my gosh, we're going to be in such a world of hurt. all of us.
Yeah. I mean, your goods and services, I mean, if you're not aware, I mean, railways can take it so far, but I mean, really the backbone of America commerce is the over-the-road truck driver. Whether it's long hauls, inner city transports, anything like that. So, yeah, it's going to get painful. And I think the interesting thing, because we kind of touched on this last time too, is this, and we were talking about it before the podcast, regardless of your political beliefs, if a presidential election was happening right now, there's no way Biden would win.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely no way at all.
I don't even think the Democrats would let him run.
No, and I don't think so either. I've seen a lot of those reports saying that, you know, if it comes to re-election time, they don't want him on the ticket.
Oh, they're going to 25th him and get him out of there. And they're probably going to get rid of Kamala just because she has the stink on her of Biden.
Yeah.
And actually, what's even worse is she's even more unliked than Biden, which is saying something.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, Biden's lower numbers are lower than Trump's were at the same time.
Yeah. Do you think, like, so Jerome Powell, right? Like, at what point will he stop the quantitative tightening and cow down basically bow down to the political class and the Democrats, the ruling class currently, you know, at the time, and cut interest rates and start the printing presses again? Just that way they can get through their election cycle with positive stock market news.
I don't know. You know, I'm not so sure that that's going to happen. I'm not saying that they won't. I'm just saying, what if they just do the quantitative tightening and they just pull in the reins until, I mean, they're not going to raise the rates like Volcker back in the 80s where they went from 10% to 20%. They can't do that. But what if they just held it at, what is it at now, 4%?
I don't even think it's that high.
And it's not even that high. No, it's, so what if they just held it where it is or even bumped it up another percent? I mean, it's going to have almost the same effect on our economy. It's going to bring everything crashing down.
Well, and I mean, the reason why, you know, you get the stock market. So this is what I'm saying from the rear end, right? The reason why the stock markets and everything else are tumbling is because the CPI numbers came out high, right? They have all the interest rates hikes that they've done so far have done nothing to drop that CPI number, that percentage. So in the investors' minds, they're like, okay, that means interest rates are going to go higher. So they are bracing for a Fed interest rate hike again, because they know that they're, you know, their spigot for free money, all their, you know, the junkie on the corner is no longer giving out hits.
Yep.
So and they're repositioning their assets, pulling stuff out in preparedness for that rate hike again.
Yep. And actually, when is the Fed meeting? Is it this week?
It could be this week. I'm not sure exactly when. Let me see if I can pull that up. But I mean, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, if the Fed had gave any indication that they were going to drop rates, your market would start to bounce.
Okay. No, you know, that's the thing. We've said this before. The Fed is between a rock and a hard place. They don't cut, if they don't raise interest rates, see, you know, inflation is going to keep going up and up and up. Matter of fact, it's still going up. It's going up faster than what they said it was. But at the same time, if they raise interest rates to cap inflation, they're going to basically kneecap the economy.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know which direction they're going to go. I think generally speaking, it's almost easier for governments in history to just inflate everything than to actually deal with something like raising interest rates. So maybe you are right. Maybe historically they're going to just say, oh, screw this tightening crap. We're going to loosen things up and here's the free money.
Yeah. Well, and looks like the Fed meeting should be between the 14th and the 15th.
And maybe that's how they roll out the central bank digital currencies, because they just kill the dollar from QE27 or whatever we're at right now. Right?
Yeah. I mean, I guess, and that's my big thing right now is that because the inflation rate is so high, CPI, and it's, we know it's more than what we're seeing in CPI. Because that inflation rate is so high, the only way to combat that is through the raising of interest rates. Because let's be honest, okay, so the Fed's got four levers basically they can pull. They got quantitative easing, quantitative tightening, interest rate hikes, or interest rate cuts. That's it.
Yep, that's pretty much it.
So, I mean, with those limited tool sets, and that's, you're exactly right. What it comes down to is how bad do they want to leave the economy? Do they want to leave us completely crippled as, like, you know, Hawking? Or are we, you know, what are we looking at here?
Well, basically you're saying, do they want to break our back or do they want to break our neck?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, do we still have our arms or are we going to lose it all?
I don't know. At the end of the day, I think we're going to lose damn near everything.
That's a good possibility. I just, it's like a game of chicken, right? Like, at what point do they break? And I almost feel like the asset classes, like when you look at the markets like this, that the reason why they're trying to do the sell-off so quickly as they can is because they want that Fed to be like, okay, fine. Interest rates are going, you know, inflation's going down, so we can start to open up that tap a little bit more.
Yep.
I mean, they're never going to bet against whatever the Fed does. The Fed is the ultimate decider of what the market's going to do.
Well, obviously, this show is not financial advice, but it seems, just looking at it right now, that, you know, not today, but maybe yesterday or as soon as you can is the best time to get out of the market.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you can put it into cash and it's losing 15% too, so...
Yeah. You know, that's the thing though, if things really take a tumble, then there's going to be some items that are really on sale, and there's some bubbles that, you know, there's some Enrons out there that we don't know who's going to be bankrupt at the end of this cycle, but there's a lot of them out there.
Yeah.
And the last thing you want to do is have your money in that one.
That's for sure. I did see something on here too that I wanted to bring up, because I think our favorite company, MicroStrategy, they're taking a big hit, which we figured they would, right?
Yep.
Where was it? I want to say they're down like 25%. Let me see. Let me pull up their ticker. Yeah, down 25%. They're down to 152.
Well, I just want to point something out to you. I don't have these numbers. I should have put them up, but I was actually looking, you know, Michael Saylor, this is what brought it to mind. He talked about FANG, right?
Uh-huh.
Which is Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Netflix, and Google.
Right.
If you own those stocks, you know, since 2010, you've done pretty dang well.
Right.
But if you look at those stocks from January 2022 to now, they've all gone down substantially.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. No, so, I mean, that's the whole thing with the inflation part of it, right? Like, any of those big companies, and I mean, especially like your big names like that, when you see those gains that happened due to the money printing presses going crazy, right?
Yep.
I mean, they're overvalued. We know that.
Yep, they are overvalued. But I'm just saying, they're not the worst company. Well, I guess... Like, if you look at Disney, that's another one. They're actually, I think it's like the first time they've been at less than $100 in I don't know how long.
Yeah. Well, and Amazon just did a stock split, right?
Yeah.
So they're taking your money and reducing the value of it. I mean, you know, the stock, you get an even split, right? But they're basically just debasing their own stock is what they're doing.
Yeah.
When you look at debasement of the currency, that's a debasement of your stock. Is to do a split.
Yeah. But I'm just saying all those companies are going down and I think there's a lot more that should be going down with them as well.
Yeah.
So I think they're kind of giving us the preview of what's to come.
So I guess question to you is capitulation or no? Do you think we're at the bottom or do you think we still have more pain?
Oh, we got way more pain. It's just how long?
Yeah. That's going to be the ultimate question. It's going to be how long does the Fed think we can survive? It's going to hurt. It's going to really hurt.
Absolutely. And the other question I have is, with all these cryptos taking a dive right now, including Bitcoin, which ones are going to fail? You know, there's that saying, if it ain't Bitcoin, it's coin.
Yeah. I think a majority of the coins that are out there. So, and let's be completely honest, because we were kind of talking, we kind of danced around this last time. The regulations, I mean, as much as people want to say, oh, we don't need to be regulated, we don't need to be regulated. The regulations kind of need to happen because there's a bunch of junk out there. Coins with no real purpose that were just completely created to give somebody money or to be able to rug pull on other people. Like, they don't serve any type of purpose. They don't have any use case. I mean, because so many of them are like, well, we're like Bitcoin, but we're what? Like, faster? You're less secure? Like, what is it? What really separates you? I mean, Ethereum, at least we got smart contracts, right?
Yep.
Bitcoin is Bitcoin. I mean, it is the payment system plus the security system for the whole thing. And I mean, really, Bitcoin is the leader. If anything happens to Bitcoin, everything else tumbles. I have high hopes for ADA because I think it's kind of the cryptocurrency 3.0 where it's going to incorporate a lot of the things that Ethereum is trying to do. I mean, talk about it. Talk about something that's taken a huge backseat. Ethereum was supposed to be rolling out, I think, Ethereum 2.0 back in 2016. We are now in 2022, and they still have not been able to get to launch on that. And that's basically where they're going to switch from proof of work to proof of stake.
Yep.
I mean, that doesn't help. I mean, and that's one thing, like ADA is already doing it. It's already staked. Like, I've got staked ADA, right? If I hadn't lost it in a fishing boat accident, I would have staked ADA. But so, I mean, you can already do that, but Ethereum has not been able to pull that off yet. And if that doesn't raise warning signs everywhere, I don't know. I do think there's a lot of use cases for it. And Ethereum has got a huge mover's advantage with, you know, the smart contracts and everything, the ability to build on top of it. I don't know if they're going to be able to pull it off. I do think Ether and BTC are going to make it. I do think that there's going to be a handful of others, but the questions are which.
No, that is the question. So, and the other question is, if all these themes like Tether and whatever else go down, is it going to take a lot of the exchanges with them?
I think any exchange that relies upon a stable coin, especially right now, I think will probably go down with them. Whenever you're in, and that's kind of why I brought up Celsius earlier. Like, it was a scammy thing you have out there in the network. However, Celsius was supposed to be a DeFi network, and somehow they're able to pause trading, pause withdrawals. Like, if it's truly decentralized, they shouldn't be able to do that. You get what I'm saying?
No, if it's not, there's nobody calling the shots, then you can't just hit the timeout button, right?
Right, yeah. Unless, and there's something weird going on there.
Unless there really is somebody calling the shots.
Yeah.
Then it's not decentralized. It's not DeFi.
It's not DeFi. Decentralized finance. Yeah, I don't know. And so there's a lot of junk out there that needs to be really washed out. Because really, like, if you look at the cryptocurrency space as a whole, like, if all that money, like, if there was only a handful of coins, Bitcoin would be much, much higher valuation right now than what it is. But because people have been able to speculate on junk, that's where all that money's gone. They're like, oh, well, look at this. We can get rich quick on this one. It's like, no, you're buying junk. I don't care how solid your white paper is. I mean, it's junk. Like, what's the purpose of the coin? But that's the question of whether you're in it for the money or you're in it for, you know, do you actually believe in what they're trying to do?
Yeah. Well, the thing is I think everybody, I mean, it's nice to believe in it, but it really should also be in it for the money.
You got to be both. I mean,
you got to be both.
You got to have the benefit of it. But I mean, I really do want to, I personally want to see the separation between money and state. That's my ultimate thing with it.
Absolutely.
So, but you got anything else you want to add?
Nope, but we need to record on Wednesday because I think things are going to get pretty dicey.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious to see what happens, especially if the Fed is meeting between the 14th and the 15th. I've got a practice on Wednesday, but we'll see what I can pull.
Okay.
Alrighty. So,
alrighty, sounds good.
Thank you all for listening. We will talk to you later.
Take it easy. Bye.